Well, here we are. It is May 7th. Let's just do a study that I've been working on here over the last days, and I hope everything is going well with everybody. I hope you are getting along without pal talk as much as I am, but I hope that hasn't kept you from reading your stuff and reading those sermons and studying your own materials, what you're looking for. Open the book and find out what you need to find out. It isn't all going to come from me, that's for sure. But I will put this stuff out there for you for some day. But for example here, we're going to do for a couple of sermons here, I'm sure it's going to take a couple easily, is I was looking up brethren. I did this a long time ago. I did it back in the earlier church, and that was because we had brethren in the building. We had people that were there. And we needed to be there for each other. And I was curious to what, you know, the risen Savior through Paul would say to us as far as, well, you know, here's what I would expect of you for each other and towards each other. And it was an interesting study. It was disappointing at the time. And a couple of the folks came through as much as possible. They came through financially. They came through with just being interested in your life and our lives and my life. They were there to listen to you. I was there to listen to them, not just as a pastor, but just as a friend, whatever, as brethren. So as we're going into these days here of where, you know, things are getting tough. What I went through at the school a couple of weeks ago, which I will tell you privately in an email here pretty soon still, and things that are going on within the home and the family and the job and the friends and the world that's out there, we realize more and more that we just don't have the brethren up snuggy close like we wish we had. And so I thought, let's go back and look through that brethren thing again. And as people have come and gone from Pal Talk, come and gone from the website, let's remind ourselves how much we need each other, even though it's just through email, even if it's just texting, which I can't stand, even though it's an occasional phone call, which I don't mind. I just haven't had the freedom to have those phone calls as of yet. And regular mail, every now and then I even receive a regular mail that we nowadays call snail mail. I get some of that once in a while. But we still have brethren. And so, okay, let's sit down and let's just do what I've always done, type in a certain word or whatever, and let's just pull out all the verses that have that word in it, and then let's just read down all those verses and see what comes out of there, knowing that brethren talking with Paul will be brethren, will be different talking with John and the apostles and those brethren. And we know what the brethren will be going through during the tribulation. So those verses to those brethren are not to us as brethren. So I started to get into this thing and I realized, you know, there's probably about time. I've got a tract out there on it on the website. And I was just finding those verses and talk about it again. But now, like about, I don't know, 5-6 years later, I just saw so many more things in these verses that deal with brethren that I just kept marking, and I came up with some mini sermons and some mini thoughts and some verses that need to be reiterated, rehashed, or whatever, over things that are going on. Even found a couple of verses that are good for some things that had gone on in the past that were accused of me. And here's the verse that says what I was doing was totally okay. One of those kind of things. So let's start looking at the brethren thing here. And then we get off on a bunch of different bunny trails and a bunch of different little things here that begin because this verse has brethren in it and he's talking to us. Now, let's keep track of this thing. The word brethren. I notice that he's dealing with certain brethren. One time, he even makes mention sometimes of the brethren, the word brethren. He's referring to his Jews and he says, brethren according to the flesh. That's the Jew. So then he's talking to them or about them. And we know that he would die and go to hell for those, according to the flesh, brothers of his. But when he's talking to us, and what we're looking at here is we're looking at, as brethren, we are the, what the Bible now calls the church of God. And you'll see that as we go through these miscellaneous verses here talking about brethren, that one of the complaints people have towards the Paul gang, and that's because some people put such an emphasis on where did the church begin? Well, what was the church before the church was the church? Kind of a thing. And it's kind of like that question of where was the King James Bible before 1611? Where was the Word of God? Where was the Word of God? Where were the words of God before 1611? Those kind of questions. And these verses will deal with that. We are a member of the Church of God. It's not the earthly denominational Church of God, believe me. But he says, for example, here in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Pages are flipping, as always, I hope. Acts chapter 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, one of the few times he talks about that, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. So, are we members of that right there? Listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours, and that's the risen Savior when he talks about Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the church of God, people. That's us. He says in 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense neither to the Jews, well, that's not us, nor to the Gentiles, well, that's not us anymore. Because we are, he says here, nor to the church of God. So there's three groups to deal with here. You've got the Jews, you've got the Gentiles, then you've got, by following the risen Savior through Paul, you've got the church of God. Remember, I think it's in Ephesians 4. Let's check it out. Ephesians chapter 4, where he says about... not to think like, here we go, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, I think it is. He says, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. See, he's talking about the other Gentiles compared to us, the church of God. Because see, now we're not Gentiles, now we're the church of God. Okay? There's a difference there. And so... he's not talking like here, walk not as the other Gentiles. He says as other Gentiles. He's not talking about we're all Gentiles, don't walk like them. No, he's talking about the Gentiles compared to the church of God. Let's not walk like the Gentiles out there. Other Gentiles walk. That's the lost person. They're Gentiles. Let's not walk like they do. And then he goes on and he talks about that. Great verses. You've heard me say those 1,000 times. He says in 1 Corinthians 15:9, for I am not the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I have persecuted the church of God. Oh, look at that. The church of God existed before Paul did. Before Saul became Paul. That was the church of God. So we don't see two different churches here, two different dispensations, two different ways of, you know, getting into the church. Those could be, I guess that would be kind of an interesting sermon sometime. Let's look at both of those. But it's still called the Church of God before Paul comes along. He says in Galatians 1:13, for you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. So he was in that religion. How that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. Those were people that were following Jesus. That's different than the church of God that we have today. Two different churches? No, same church. Just two different ways of getting in. There's people who can get a grasp on that. That is not the issue when the church began. That is such a bogus issue that puts the scholarship into the people's heads instead of trying to get them to learn how to walk to please God by looking at Paul's manner of life. Again, that's the reward robbers. I've got that one right here to do is when I get the chance here. Okay, so one more time, he says here, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God. which is at Corinth. So he's in Corinth, and he's going to those people that are the church of God. It's not just the everybody the everyday Gentile. It's to the church of God. That's who he's talking this stuff to. We are church of God. We're not Gentile. We're certainly not Jews. Romans chapter 4, spiritual Jews, blah, blah. Sure, let's not get into that. We're talking about we are church of God. That's who he's directing this to. So, we see that in all these verses, and there's like pages and pages that deal with the word brethren, that he's talking about faithful brethren. Those are the ones that are staying faithful to his manner of life, staying faithful to his doctrine, staying faithful, not becoming the Bible thumper or the woman that's running the whole ship based on God's stuff, you know, and all those things that go on there in religion today. Faithful to the risen Savior through Paul. The only way you know that is through a King James Bible. That's the faithful brethren. Then he's got those that are weak in the faith. Then he's got those brethren who are walking disorderly. And then he's got the false brethren. He makes mentions of those brethren, the faithful brethren, the weak in the faith brethren, those that are walking disorderly, and then he's got the false brethren. False brethren. False brethren means they really aren't brethren. They're false. That's a thoughtful statement right there. So keeping that in mind, you got faithful brethren, weak brethren, weak in the faith brethren. They don't know anything. What do they know? If you pop some big thing on them, they choke and they gag. You got those that are walking disorderly. Walking is referring to Paul's manner of life. And they're causing problems with that walk. We'll talk about that when we get into it. And then, of course, you got the false brethren. And my question, obviously, would be, are you a faithful or false brother? Are you weak in your faith? Do you not know a lot of this stuff? Are you not aware of the faith of Jesus Christ? Are you not aware that, yes, your faith can get stronger, your faith can get weaker? You can give up and quit, but because we have the faith of Jesus Christ, type it up and look it up, faith of Jesus Christ, where are you at? Are you walking disorderly? Are you not doing the things you know you should be doing? Or are you a false brethren? You're here, you're doing your thing, you think it's progressing because you think it's the best and all this kind of stuff, but you're just not into it. Could possibly be that you are not even, saved. A false brethren. So we're going to skip Acts this time. I'll do a separate one on Acts because there's enough in there that is quite interesting regarding the brethren and some of the bunny trails we're going to check down. But let's go to Romans. So I'm just going to show you some verses, and I'm just going to kind of talk about them. I think the preacher guys use the word expound. Well, they can take a verse and expound for 45 minutes to an hour or 20 minutes or whatever. No, I'm not going to do that. These are just verses that when you read, these are the things that ought to click in some of the dinghies that we got going on up there. For example, Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Okay, Romans chapter 1, verse 13. Oh, I thought I had my stopwatch going here, but it doesn't. I don't, naturally. There's always something I don't turn on, I don't click. So we'll just go for a while here. Well, look at that. It's doing that right on the screen. I can just follow it right there. How about that? Here we go, Romans 1, 13. Now, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. In other words, he wants us to know this stuff. And there's a number of things that we have talked about that where Paul says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. And you can get on the website, you can type in probably, I don't think it's the greatest web search thing to find things, it turns out, but we do have a bunch of sermons, a bunch of notes on what Paul says, I would not have you ignorant. In other words, these are the things that Paul wants. He just wants you to know these things. I suppose we could do that on a sermon basis sometimes too. Pull those out from the past. That might be my next blast from the past stuff, is those things that Paul wants us not to be ignorant of. And you can test yourself. Are you ignorant? Anyway, I would not have you ignorant, brethren. Here's one of them. That oft times I purposed to come unto you. He wanted to come. Now, when Paul talks about coming to us, we look at the King James Bible now. God would have that King James Bible come to us. We have to open that thing up and read it. And that's the same as Paul coming unto us. I purpose to come unto you, but was let hitherto. In other words, he was kept back. That I might have some fruit among you, even as among other Gentiles. So see, there's people out there in religion that are getting things happening. They're getting some fruit as such. But here he says, that I might have some fruit among you. Paul wouldn't mind having a little fruit in his judgment seat of Christ basket. Wouldn't that be nice? So how's your fruit basket? Then I could park in that verse for one, but I'm not going to do that. He wants us not to be ignorant of the fact that he wanted to come to us because he wanted some fruit among us. He wants to participate in the fruit harvest. Okay? That's just all. Just a comment like that. Now this Romans chapter 7. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. This does deserve full sermons, but I'm not going to get into it. Just Romans chapter 7, verse 1. And there's verses between, there's verse 2 and verse 3, but there's also the word brethren in verse 4. So let's not turn this into a big sermon. Let's just look at Romans chapter 7, verse 1, and Romans chapter 7, verse 4. Romans chapter 7, verse 1. Know ye not, brethren? See? Do you know this? Do you know this? You should know this. For I speak to them that know the law. The law knowers, you know. And the... we'd have to say today the modern Christian religion guys, the Bible thumping guys, they're still putting a law out there. They take the grace law and make it into bondage law. Okay, anyway. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. That's the power of the law. If you want to follow the law, I mean, you know, more power to you, but that law has dominion over you. That's your boss. So the people that think they're trying to do the right thing by following the commandments, etc., they don't realize that that law is dominionating over them. They're just trying to use it as good. No, it has dominion over you. Verse 4, wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that ye should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. You have to understand verse 2 and 3 about being married and everything. That's why they make such a big fuss about divorce, you know. Earthly divorces. But see, we're dead to the law. So the law hath dominion over us, but yet, because we've got the Christ of what he did, what did Christ do? Well, he fulfilled the law. He walked the law and he fulfilled it. No sin. Dealt with it, took care of it, got rid of it. And then he imputes his sinless righteousness upon us, to us, and makes gets rid of. He doesn't just make us saved; he gets rid of the law. Romans chapter 10, verse 4. He gets rid of the law. Let's read it. It's not that far away. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. That's the for righteousness. It still exists. It has a purpose, but for righteousness, no. He fulfilled the righteousness. He did the right stuff, and now he imputes his righteousness to us. So the law is no longer our problem as such, and because of that, it has no longer dominion over us. That's pretty fantastic. That's extremely fantastic. That's a double wow. Those are the things that if you're still trying to follow some evangelist 10 pages a day thing, you're just going to miss this stuff. You read that, and I stop, and I think, boy, you know, that's really cool. Let's see. First of all, I really do believe my King James Bible. That's the Word of God. And those are the words of God. Those are the very words God spoke to these people and had this stuff written down, and that was that's which is perfect has come, and it's here. And this thing has a spiritual power over that which was done in part, speaking in tongues, the prophesying, the knowledge thing. This is where it's at, is this book. So this book, I get that confidence in this book, tells me that I'm no longer under the dominion of the law. Wow. So I stop and I think about that as I lay in bed. That's pretty neat. That's excitingly neat. Okay. Romans 11:25. Let's look at another one. For I would not, brethren, see, there we go again, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery. Okay, so here's something else. he doesn't want us to be ignorant of. Are we ignorant of this? That blindness, in part, is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Oh, I skipped a part, didn't I? Yeah, because see, if you're ignorant of this mystery that the blindness in part has happened to Israel, Israel has no clue. They don't want to hear it. They haven't wanted to hear it. But when the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, Romans 11:22, when the Gentiles are done, they don't want to have anything to do with the goodness of God, then God will cut off those Gentiles. The fullness of the Gentiles will be filled, and the Gentiles are out of it again, and goes back to the Jews. Thus we have the tribulation. Then they will no longer be blinded, but they'll see what they have to do. They'll probably just be tricked into another preacher someplace, whatever, but they will have to toe the line, not take the mark, da-da-da-da. The everlasting gospel will be preached and the whole thing. But see, if you don't understand that, if you're ignorant of that, which I'm telling you, almost everybody is anymore, then it says here, lest ye be wise in your own conceits. Powerful verse. So these people that don't understand what I call the Paul thing, the grace, the walk, the manner of life, all that stuff that Paul teaches. What Christ did fulfill the law. The law is not dominion over us anymore. Just everything that we've talked about, everything that we've come to know. There's people that don't have that. And look at them. They're wise in their own conceits. They think they're doing a good enough job to get God's blessing. They think that the reason they have something going is because of God's blessing. They think that they're prospering because of God's blessings. They think they've got this good job because of God's blessings. They think that they know what they know is because they're doing so well, God blesses them. Until lately, these people are losing their jobs and losing their blessings as such, and they don't know where to turn, so they just chuck it off and blame it on God. I thought you'd be there for me with a husband or with a job or with a life or whatever. You don't exist, and I'm out of here. That's what happens. Why? Because they're ignorant of this whole mystery about the Israel is blinded and the Gentiles are being spiritually blessed by the risen Savior. In order to understand that stuff, in order to even receive that risen Savior, you've got to do this all through Paul, which humbles themselves, because then they got to get out of their churches they're in. They can't stay there and win the church over. People still always try to do that. They start following these other preacher guys on TV because they mention the word Paul, and they just get caught up, and they become wise in their own conceits. That's just a fantastic verse. I could talk on that verse for hours. And when I read that thing in my reading, whenever I'm doing some stuff like that, I just look at that and go, boy, is that not true? They are actually wise in their own conceits. People you know, people you love, people you care about. You just watch them and just listen to them. They're being wise in their own conceits. Conceited, and it is. Oh, you know, I pray God would just... Oh, I prayed for that, and God answered. You know what that is? That's basing your godliness on gain, which is in Timothy, which is a no-no. Okay. Well, let's see here. Let's go to Romans chapter... I skipped this one, but I just noticed it just now. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. This is a tough one. This is a tough one for all of us here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. And he beseeches. Are you serious? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and that's what it'll take, that is totally what it will take, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You got to say no. But your body wants to say yes, you say no. That's a sacrifice. Your body wants to be bare. Keep it covered. But you bought it. That's a sacrifice. You want your works, you want your body, you want to do what you do, you want it to be acceptable unto God. Sorry to say, but that actually takes a sacrifice, because your flesh doesn't want to do that. So you got to give up on that. That's what he's telling us. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. Christ has made our body holy. We're not going to go out there and make ourselves holy, and yet our body still contains sin, but we can still do the right thing for it. It's a fine line in there, you know, but that's what we're supposed to. And he says here, it's your reasonable service. That's the least thing you can do. Once you learn about Paul's doctrines, which we did for years, a couple of years we took to go through the fantastic doctrines of Romans and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians, and we just learned all the stuff that Christ has done to us, not only just for us, but to us. And then when we found out that, oh, wait a minute, we should do what? Present me, my body, myself, a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. My hair, my skirt, my all that kind of stuff. Not that we're getting into the godliness of how long is your hair, that kind of stuff. No, we're not talking about that. But there's still a presentation to make as a Christian. And I don't want to do that stuff. Yeah, but you know, it's just, after all you've learned, he says, it's just a reasonable service. Couldn't you at least do that? It's not like he's asking you a whole lot, you know. He's just asking you to say no once in a while. Well, I know I'm bad at that. You're bad at that. Are you bad at that? I'm bad at that. So, but we keep that stuff in mind here. Let's keep going. How are we doing? We got plenty of time here. Romans 15:15. Here we go. Romans 15:15. Got right down a word I thought of I want to talk about here. Another sermon. Okay. Romans 15:15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you, in some sort. I think Paul knows that he's dealing with people that just really can't take it anyway. He says, nevertheless, brethren, you have to read 13:14 to find out what he's nevertheless-ing. But he says, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given of me. As putting you in mind. See, now here's one of the complaints I received back when I was pastoring two live human bodies in front of me. I would preach some things in my sermon that other people would recognize, well, that's me he's talking about there. Why would he do that? Or I'd go to somebody, it got to be where nobody wanted me to come over because I would either preach something I've seen. All you got to do is look at video rack and CD rack and all this kind of stuff. But you just see how the kids behave, how they dress when you drop in on them, how the mothers are so immodest in front of their boy children and vice versa and all this kind of stuff. You know, you hear how they really talk in the home and everything. You see that stuff, okay? Or somebody talks to you about something and they have some questions. And that's a good question there, Betty Jean, I suppose, better say that. Betty Jean, that was a good question. And here's the answer, da-da-da-da. So maybe I don't have the answer. I'll look it up and I'll check it up later and I'll tell you about it. Okay, so I dig up the answer. Well, everybody needs to know this one. This is a good question. And here's a fantastic answer. So I put it in the sermon. Well, it didn't take long for some of the ladies, never the men, were offended. He's talking about me. Well, no, nobody else knows that you're the one that came up with that question. Nobody out there knows that you're the one with the Stephen King novels hanging on your bookshelf up there that you read all the time, unless they've been in and they see that too. Then they actually do need to hear this and how to deal with that, da-da-da-da. But, you know, don't get so uptight. And here's what Paul says. I've written them more boldly unto you as putting you in mind. I'm writing this thinking about you. And I always used to say to the church people, listen, what do you want me to preach about? You want me to find out what the challenges are for some church in Missouri or something? No, this is you guys. This is us. I need to talk about us. Things I observe, questions you ask. I'll preach about them. That's okay. Well, that used to really bother them. Oh, that would bother them. Wouldn't it, LD? I know you're listening. That would bother people. I noticed in my mirror that we got mostly blackbirds up back. They disappear here pretty soon. So pretty soon you'll be able to see those pretty little finches out there. But right now the bully blackbirds are out there. Okay. If you're just listening to the audio, then you won't see that, obviously. Let's see here. Let's go to Romans 15:30. That's a good verse, by the way. I have written the more boldly unto you, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God. This is what God would have me to do. I haven't arrived. I'm not the guy that knows everything down here, but this is what God would have me to say, because he wants you to hear this. I have to get mad instead. Romans 15:30. Now we beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, again, Paul's talking about the risen Savior, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Okay, now, let's be very specific here. This is Paul. So Paul's telling these people to pray for him, pray for Paul. Okay, so if you want to put me in that position as your, you know, internet pastor, then fine, you know. For the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, let's all strive together with me, and would you please pray for me? You can go down that road if you'd like. But what I'd rather do, I mean, I want your prayers, no doubt. But what I'd rather do is say that when he's talking about Paul, see, to me, today, Paul is a King James Bible, rightly divided. So we need to be praying that this King James Bible, the words from Paul, get into the lives of our family, our friends, our neighbors, our bosses, you know, people in this country. That's what they need to hear. They really don't need to hear me. They need to hear Paul. Well, Paul's dead. So they need to hear Paul from a King James Bible. That is not Paul speaking in an NIV Bible. Those are not Paul's words. Those are not the words of God. It's a King James Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Check that verse out here. 2 Thessalonians 3:1. This is how you pray for that Bible. Finally, brethren, 3:1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. There's how you pray for people. You don't just pray for the people. You pray that somewhere along the line, Paul would get into their lives and would tell them what Paul wants to tell them. And that what Paul is telling them, that he would have the freedom, the freeliness of it, to get into their lives. The only way they're going to get this is from a King James Bible. The only way they're going to get this from a King James Bible is to be willing to be taught how to read a King James Bible. And to realize you got to look at the words of Paul, because those are the words from the risen Savior that told Paul what to say. So sure, go ahead and pray for me as an internet pastor. I appreciate that, and there's some places where you need to do that. I understand that. But let's put this thing where it needs to be. Let's pray that Paul can get into the lives of these people. In fact, I think it's 1 Thessalonians. I'm going by my memory so bad. Let's go with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, I think it is. Yes, it is. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. This is Paul and his gang there, you know, his buddies, his ladies that helped all this stuff. And a manner of entering in we had unto you. And as a result of that entering in, look what happened. How ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. And they look at that and think, I don't want to be that perfect little nun Christian. Or that, see, the whole Catholic thing is getting such press nowadays. It used to be that the Catholics would never, ever call themselves Christians. But now they're called Christians. So when you hear the news, Christian news is all but the Catholics. And so people's concept of being a Christian is a Catholic. Al Capone, you know, all the stuff goes on out there. Those are Catholics. Or you got these priests and you got these nuns and you got these people that are living a life of denial, the whole, not denial, but denial. And they get this wrong impression. But that's because Paul has not entered into them. They haven't opened up their Bible. They haven't read what it is Paul's. How many people that are against what we have to say, have they even read this stuff? They hear their pastor say, oh, Paul, those guys are nutcases. Just like Festus. Paul, you've gone mad. The whole thing. You know the story. But this is how we do this. With the love of the Spirit, it's the Spirit of God who will go into these people if they would, you know. Do these people have the Spirit of God? I don't believe they have the Spirit of God. I think they're a false brethren. get into that later, that you strive together with me, you and your Bible, pray to God that this Bible would get into the lives of these people somehow. And it just probably isn't going to be you preaching at them and bashing them with Bible verses. You probably already learned that. Okay, so there's what you pray for your family, for your people. Don't just pray that God would speak to you. Pray that they get a King James Bible. Give them one. Pray for a King James Bible to be opened up and for them to learn from Paul. That's what needs to take place here. To win them over to Christ crowd is just winning them over to the Antichrist. Really, in all reality, we need to win them over to Paul, because he will introduce them to the risen Savior. And really, we need to introduce them to a King James Bible, which they've never heard of before as being the one Bible. This country only had this Bible, one Bible. Yeah, that's what it used to be for years. 400 years, this was the book. That's what they need. Okay, I kind of belabored on that one a while here. Here we go, Romans 16:17. Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you. Notice when he talks about the brethren, he quite often uses the word beseech. That's like he really wants us to get it. He really wants them to hear this. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Well, let's see here. There's a really important thing I think we all miss. I missed it for years, you know. It does not say mark them which believe differently than we do and avoid them. It doesn't say that. And that's our pride thing in some respects. It says mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Those are the Bible preaching guys. Those are the guys on the corners. Those are the guys that don't teach and preach Paul, and they actually cause division because you are what you believe what you believe. We have a lot of good friends, right? We don't. I don't. But there's friends we have out there that don't believe what we do, but they're not causing division unless they cause division. Now, it's an interesting thing. I was taught this by my public school principal years ago, that these people that actually believe differently, and I know we've all seen this, are actually starting to cause division now, because what do they say? I don't want to hear what you have to say. Now we got a problem. Now you're causing division. You mean you can talk about God and Jesus and this country and politics and all this stuff? I can talk about politics in this country, but I can't put in the God part because of what I believe from Paul? I can't do that? Well, see, now you're causing division. Do you know many people that will let you talk about what you talk about with what they talk about? Yeah, I got some people up here. A couple. Not very many, but a couple. So I don't, as it says here, avoid them. But there are people on the website. There are people in the internet out there, in the Pal Talk rooms especially, and they get into the Pal Talk, our little Pal Talk room, and they start to cause division. Boom. We avoid them by marking them. The sad thing is they got more guts to mark us and avoid us than we have to mark them and avoid them. Now, we're not trying to cause division when we talk. We just believe that we have the freedom. You can say what you want to say about the Bible and Jesus and the apostles. I just want you to, and in your NIV, I just want you to know that, you know, I can show you that NIV has got some serious errors in it, which I know you've never met, or you would know what I'm talking about. Or dispensation of grace. You ever heard of that? Or the faith of Jesus Christ. I've never heard of that. Well, yeah, let me show you. You have a King James Bible? Don't want to hear it. He's causing division. Those are the guys or the ladies that we have to avoid. You're not going to get anywhere with them. Avoid them. Just remember, just because they don't believe like we do doesn't mean we need to avoid them. But if they put a division in there because of what you say, you avoid them. You think you can break through that? Seriously? You still think that, Esther? Remember, Romans 11:21 is not just about the end of the Gentiles and the beginning of the tribulation. It tells us that people don't want to hear the goodness of God. What do you have to talk about? You've got to talk about the goodness of God. His grace. How he took care of the law. Can't lose your salvation. Paul. And all the things about the walk and da-da-da-da. Yeah. They really don't want to hear that. They would rather hear about the severity of God or no God at all. But the goodness of God, they don't believe it because they've never seen it before. That's because their preachers never taught them that before. They've got the severity of God because you know why you're sick? It's because you're not contributing to the coffers good enough. Coffers meaning money, not the coughing coffers. It's amazing. There are those that believe differently, don't cause division. Stay with them. They might win it sometime. But there are those that are causing division by not wanting to hear you. Even though you'd hear them, they don't want to hear you. Paul's very plain. Avoid them. And he beseeches that. Mark them. And avoid them. Okay. Let's see here. How are we doing here? Do I want to go on? Sure, let's go on a couple more here. 1 Corinthians 1:26. Oh, no, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 1:10. Maybe we'll finish with this one here. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That would be unity. Do you think that if we all got together, I should go down the list. We got people in Ohio. We got people in Georgia, Florida, Arizona, Texas, California, Washington, Idaho, Michigan, South Dakota, of course. All over the country. A couple people out in the world. Got a guy down in Garlax. We got you down in Philippines. And there's another guy that keeps track. And not knowing who these other people that listen in, without writing to me till later. I'm so far behind with emails of them. If we were to get together in a church and we say to ourselves, oh, that would be wonderful. We could all sing up a storm and we could see each other. You know what we would see? We would see some ladies that, oh, that's not very modest. Or we would see some guys that are kind of boneheaded, you know, kind of stubborn and run their family pretty hard, you know. We would see some things, and some guys are weak in the faith. They wouldn't even understand some of the things that those of us that have been around long enough that we would understand. So there might be a little division in there. Would we all speak the same thing? King James Bible. We could. But be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. You think that would happen? When I was doing this preaching, pastoring down over in Washington, you know, I thought, man, this is going to just pull this church together. This will be fantastic. We can be quite the brethren here. And all Paul did was cause division, actually. It wasn't his intent. They just didn't want to hear what that. But we still had the brethren there. We still had church faces and all that stuff. Just look at 1 Corinthians 15:58 with this subject here. 1 Corinthians 15:58. It works. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Well, that was for another comment I've got coming up regarding the brethren. I know what I want to go. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. I don't know how many of you thought of that. See, this is Paul's purpose. Paul's purpose is to take us brethren and get us into that position of speaking the same thing. No divisions. Be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's Paul's purpose. And how does he accomplish that? Go to Ephesians chapter 4. This is Paul's ministry here. You stick with Paul, rightly dividing the word of God. And don't get caught up with all these other different Paul guys and the mid-Acts guys and the guys that have the spiritual leader guys. They all got good stuff to say. I'm not saying that. But are they preaching what Paul wants to be preached? And Paul says, my ways should be preached in every church. If these guys aren't preaching Paul's ways, then really, you're not getting Paul like you should. Paul will, in verse 13, Ephesians 4, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man complete, remember, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, until we attain, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. They're doing this on purpose. But us, speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body of Christ, church of God, fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body to the edifying of itself in love. And you keep going. That's our goal. And Paul's goal would do that with us if we would just stay away from all that other stuff out there that's out there. Mark those that cause divisions. And the more things we learn here. That's the goal. Are we down that path as a website family? No, I can't say we are, because I don't see anybody. We don't see each other. We're not there for each other. All we could do would be to email each other and text each other, and before you know it, chances are somebody would say something wrong and they say, well, you can't talk. Somebody would hit you up for something, you know. You know, ladies, so what another lady would think. They wouldn't say it to you, but they would say to you, you know, I think your hair is too short. They still get off on that thing. Or that blouse, that's not a very, you know, and your girls, your children are acting so badly. I mean, there's stuff that people can go at, but Paul would teach us not to do that. So yes, there is a position on this earth that could have been fitly joined together, the body of Christ. We could have made it. We could have been here. But we got caught up with a great commission from the Baptist missionary. We got caught up with all this other junk that's going on, invitations and all the song pressure and the guilt, and we got caught up in religion, and it basically destroyed. Because here we had a church, and we brought Paul in, and you would think that could have mended all the stuff that was going on in religion. We had religion before that. No, it didn't mend it at all. It actually tore it up eventually. Rumors started flying. Things were just going down the tubes. You could see it coming. The kids weren't going to get it. The kids were going to destroy. And you saw what happened. And, you know, 5 years later, that's exactly what has happened. They didn't stick with the Paul. The direction was not attained. The direction was not even aimed at. And it fell apart. But they still got a church. They still got religion. There's probably some good stuff going on there. Probably hear some good sermons. But it's not a Paul church. Where is a Paul church? I don't know of many. I don't know of any. Actually, must be some small ones out there in people's homes. We have one. It's over the internet. But like we're still lacking that tight brethren and stuff. And when things are like in my case, which I've told before, the finances, the families, the job in a public school, all the stuff that's going on here, the only people I have are you brethren out there. And I hesitate to go to you because I'm kind of a whiner, I suppose, in many people's eyes. But don't you, when you get together with your friends, don't you talk about stuff like that? And then the other one's there to encourage, you know? Where are these philanthropists? Is that what they call them? These philanthropists that have all this money that could solve so many problems within this ministry with just a big check? Help other people through this ministry with a big check? Or help other people not through this ministry? There's these people with money. Anyway, and we also know that this isn't going to continue much longer. That the news is now saying the feds are getting into the internet and are going to find out who's got hate speech. Well, we don't have hate speech. You tell them that we don't have hate. We don't have hate, but we hate religion. We hate evil. We abhor evil. And what we're trying to tell people is what they have is wrong, and what this is here is right. We can't do that much longer. I'll explain what happened to me at school one of these days. Well, let's just leave it there, talking about the Webb family, the brethren. Are we united? We're united in the same book. We're united with Paul. We're united that we want to learn. We all have our issues, and we don't really have a way to talk to each other, be there for everybody. But it's not as tight as it could be. How do you know that? I don't know. I just got that feeling. If we're all to get together, how would we do? You know. Anyway, there's just round one, clang, round one of some bunny trail sermons from verses that have the word brethren in it. And I'm telling you, here, you can't see this on the audio, but I've got a lot to go here, a lot of individual verse talkings. So there's no subject on this one other than this is for the brethren. And are you a faithful brother? Are you a weak in the faith brother? Are you walking disorderly? Or are you a fake one, a false one? Faithful will hang in there and keep tuning in, and you'll do the best you can. Listen to this stuff and keep in touch with me. I know, I'm behind with emails. And Sam, you told me, why are going to people write to you if you don't write them back? Well, it isn't much longer for school to be going. And then I'll have more time, I hope, other than the next surgery. I don't know where we're going to go with that. So, there you go. We'll put a stop to this thing. If I could reach my little meadowlark bird, I would reach it. Maybe I can. And this is how I used to start and stop sermons. There we go. Remember the sound of the meadowlark? One of the greatest birds alive. And we'll see you folks very soon again.